All right, welcome everyone. We are here for a special bonus workshop. And this, of course, is for the Six Figure Biz Academy. And we are here with Jess. Jess, you know what? I'm gonna briefly read your bio. I was looking for your bio on your page. Okay, here we go. I just have a really short bio that I can read so that everybody knows, who you are and what you do and all that good stuff. We're really excited to have you. Right
Yeah.
now in the Six Figure Biz Academy, we are getting to the point where I think the timing is perfect. We've got a lot of questions that are starting to come up in terms of, how to create a good website, what needs to go on the website.
Yep.
We have a really nice group here. Yeah, it looks like we've got lots of people joining. This talk will be uploaded into our membership site as well, so that everyone will have an opportunity to revisit as they need to. So, all right, so I'll go ahead and just read your bio. Okay, so we are here today with Jessica Freeman, and Jess is an Atlanta-based award-winning graphic and web designer that helps health and fitness business owners to build authority and get more clients. She has been featured in over 50 different podcasts and publications and also runs her own YouTube channel and a podcast called The Digital Lounge. So, welcome, Jess. And today, Jessica is going to talk about her special training is entitled Three Steps to a Revenue Generating Website. And so, I am going to go ahead and turn it on over to you. I'll keep an
Yay.
eye on, the comments and just try to facilitate a little bit from my end, but otherwise I'll just, let you run with it.
Cool. And yeah, if you guys have questions, even if you have questions about stuff that like is not related to what I talk about, like if I miss something or you're like, I've been wondering this and you didn't talk about it, like I'm an open book. Let me know what questions you have. Anything's game. So I'm gonna share my screen. Can you all see that okay? Yes, good. So, as Leslie said, my name's Jess. I'm an award-winning web designer, podcaster, and YouTuber, a creator of the Better Collective. I'm also an author, type 1 diabetic, and a dog mom. And my dog's name is Morgan Freeman because my last name's Freeman, so we named him Morgan. And he actually looks a lot like Leslie's dog. Every time Leslie posts about her dog on Instagram, I'm like, wait, that looks like Morgan. So,
Which dog? I have two.
the black
Oh, the
one.
little black one?
Yeah.
Oh, Piper. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if you have pictures,
I should have
love to
included a
see.
picture because every
Yeah.
time I show Morgan on like Instagram, people love him. So I should have put a picture of Morgan here instead of myself since you wondered what I look like. That's what I should do from now on. But today we're going to be talking about what I call my simple action formula. This is the framework that I walk all of my clients through to help them get more clients through their website. And today I'm going to help you do the same. But first, to kind of give context, I want to share a quick story about a recent experience I had at Chick-fil-A. You'll notice if you follow me on Instagram or start to that I love Chick-fil-A. And I was there a few weeks ago with a friend, and I got my usual 8-count nuggets, no fries. And the lady was like, great, would you like to upgrade to a 30-count nugget tray? And I was like, I'm sorry, what? I'm like 8 to 30. That seems like a big jump. I'm not sure, like, what? Like, I'm here by myself. I don't have kids or like, no one's with me. And so it was very, like, it just seemed out of the blue. And it reminded me that, like, as business owners, we have to make the right ask at the right time. And that's what I want you to keep in mind with your website. Just think about making the right ask at the right time. So, the first part we want to go into, the first step is your strategy. So, I want you to think about what is the number one goal for your website. It might be to get clients, which I feel like is usually most people's goals, It might also be to grow your email list or to get some passive income. And yes, you can do all three. That's definitely an option. But one of those things should be the focus. So like, for instance, if you go to my website, you will see there are chances to join my email list, to buy digital products or courses. But I'm mostly pointing people towards my services more than anything. So keep in mind, what's the number one goal for your website? Now, often I see a lot of people making this mistake on the homepage of their website, especially. I have this very vague little mock-up here on the screen where there are so many buttons and so many different things on the homepage. It's like, here are my services, but also my ebook, and follow me on Facebook and Instagram and join my Facebook group. And like, are you following me on YouTube? Like, there's so many options. And then there's a pop-up. Like, there's all these different things happening. And that's where it gets overwhelming. Like, think about if you were to walk into a store or a restaurant and someone came up to you and was like, hi, would you like to buy this? Also, we have this available and we have this available. And hi, like, what are you looking for? Like, I'm sorry. Like, I just want to like shop. You know, we don't want to inundate people. We want it to be clear where you want them to go. Okay. So we want this to be clear. So a few things, just very quickly based on your different goals. So if your goal is to get clients, we don't want to use a pop-up. This is going to distract them away from going to your services page. The only exception that I tell people is if you have a proven track record of getting clients through your email list. Like, if you find that, like, oh, I get all my clients through my email list, then by all means, use that. That's fine. But most people don't have much luck in getting clients through their email list. So I would try to not distract people. You can also, I get questions about, like, well, what about the exit intent pop-ups, which only show up once someone's about to leave your website? I think those can be okay, because at that point, someone's already trying to leave your website. But in general, not a huge fan of pop-ups anyway, but especially if your main goal is to get clients. If your main goal is to grow your email list, just make sure that your opt-in boxes on your website really have that results-oriented text instead of just, hey, like, you know, 5 smoothie recipes. Tell them, like, what are they, you know, save time with my 5 smoothie recipes or whatever. Like, what's that, like, what is it going to get them by signing up besides the smoothie recipes? So think about those results. And then if your goal is passive income, I would highly recommend installing tripwires, which tripwires are a whole other workshop that I could do. But basically, you may have experienced when you sign up for a freebie, you hit submit, and the page redirects. And it's like, hey, I have this ebook for $19, but if you buy in the next 10 minutes, it's only $9. That's a tripwire. It's basically a quick upsell. It's a limited time offer that is related to the freebie. So this is actually very, very easy to set up. It's like one plugin and one extra page. There's not a lot of tech to it. And if you go to my YouTube channel, Just Creatives, there's actually a tutorial on how to set up a tripwire if you decide you want to do that. And that's actually something you could do even if your main goal is clients. That's something you could still utilize as a tripwire to just start getting some passive income. Now, your goals, meaning, you know, oh, I want to get clients. No, I want to focus on your email list. No, I want to focus on passive income, maybe a course launch, program launch. Your goals should shift, I believe, because we all go through launches like, oh, I'm launching this course. I'm launching this program, whatever it is. So our goals should shift, even if it's only for a month at a time, or maybe like Q1, you are focusing on clients. Q2, you focus on growing your email list. And then Q3, you go back to focusing on clients. you can shift your goal without having to, you know, redo your entire website. And I wanted to show you an example. So I am hosting a summit right now, which Leslie is a part of. And so I have this little call to action at the very top of my website. Just at the very top, you can see like free summit, click to join. And then I also added another link under my learn tab here in the middle. It's usually like where my resources are. You can see I have another link, free summit, just in case someone misses the red text at the top for whatever reason. There's another link there. But obviously, like, I'm not going to have those links there after the summit's over, nor do I always have some type of call to action at the top. It's kind of like, I don't know if you guys pay attention or shop at Old Navy, but Old Navy constantly has sales. Like, there is always something on sale, right? You go to the mall, I mean, not right now, but you go to the mall and there's huge sticker signs on their windows with like 40% off, 50% off, 20% off, 70% off, like some kind of sale always happening. So it just kind of, we get what I call banner blindness, where we just ignore it. We're like, yeah, whatever. So if you always have some kind of special announcement at the top of your website like this, people are going to start to ignore it because it's like, whatever. It's just the same old thing, you know, like new something. So only use these types of things for a limited time, even if it's a few weeks, 1 week, whatever you want. Another example is, this is the middle of my homepage. So I have like three pictures of websites I've done with the buttons of like, here, go to my different services. These are super easy to swap out. I can just change one image. I can change one of the buttons. I can change the text on the button, you know, like, so I can, maybe if I wanted to promote a course or something, I could change one of the images to not be a website and look somehow like a course promotion. And then the buttons say like, check out my course, like whatever. So it's super easy for me to just swap that out. And whether that's a temporary swap or a long-term swap, super easy to do that. So think about, like, even if it's just, hey, I'm going to really focus on my email list, so I'm going to change one call to action, one button, whether it's on your homepage or another page, maybe your blog posts for the month of May push people to one particular freebie instead of another. Like, you can do temporary things like that on your website to drive attention and traffic to one offer, one freebie, one program. It doesn't have to be like, this is going to change, I have to change everything on my website. So that's part one, choosing your goal. Where do you want to drive people? What is most important? And again, you can have these multiple things. You saw I had my resources tab. So I still have ways that people can join my email list and listen to my podcast and, you know, whatever else that I have available. But I'm not highlighting that on my homepage because that's not where I want to drive people most. I want to drive them to my services. So keep that in mind as you're laying out your pages and thinking through your navigation menu. The second part to getting clients to your website is building that authority. So building authority, this helps build that know, like, and trust factor that people need to work with you, especially when we are working with people on our health. That's a very vulnerable thing. And so we need to feel like we trust you. We need to feel like this is someone that I want to tell what I ate or, you know, how I'm feeling this week or things that I'm going through, not someone that I feel like is going to judge me or doesn't understand me. So we need to build that know, like, and trust factor. I mean, we've all had bad experiences with doctors and you're like, I'm not going back to that doctor. They were not super nice. You know, the wait times were super long, whatever it is. We have to build that know, like, and trust. So why should we trust you? And do you know what you're talking about? Yes, you do. We just have to show people that you do. So the first thing that you can do to build authority is build authority in your niche. And one of the first things you should do is define your niche on your website. So just saying on the, you know, usually like on the top of your homepage, most people have like a big banner with a picture of themselves. If it's not a picture of themselves, it's a picture of like food or something. And they might say like, I help you live a healthy, happy life. But what does that mean? You could be a yoga teacher, a health coach, a dietitian. It could mean a lot of things, right? Like it's not clear. Whereas I help women balance their hormones through better nutrition tells me that you help women and you help women with their hormone issues and you help them with nutrition. So think about like, I help blank so that blank. Make it super clear. People decide within 5 seconds on average, 5 seconds, if they're in the right place or not when they come to your website. That's not a lot of time. Because a lot of people think, oh, I just want this really descriptive, fun saying, like, I help you live a healthy, happy life to, you know, make it feel welcoming and fun. And then they'll read the rest of my stuff and see what I offer and what I do. No, they will decide, yes, this is the solution I'm looking for. I am looking for help with my hormones or whatever it is. Or they're like, I don't know what this means. Okay, next, I'm trying to find help with my hormones. Like, we are a very impatient society. So we want to be super clear. So defining that on the very top of your, and when I say top, I mean just like on your banner image on your homepage. And this is actually something not just on your homepage, but sales pages and other places that you should make that clear who you help in defining your niche. Other ways you build authority on your website, little things like credentials on your about page. This is something that actually Google pays attention to as well. Google has really started cracking down on health and wellness websites in the last year or two. And really, some call it just like censorship almost. I don't think it's that extreme, but they want to make sure that the information that they're serving their users who are searching on Google for answers are reputable and credible sources and not just Susie over here who thinks she knows how to help people get healthy without any credentials. So think about like including those credentials on your about page is super important. And Google also pays attention to good grammar. Now don't get too caught up in like, oh my gosh, am I supposed to use a comma or a hyphen here? They're not going to pay attention to those small things, but they do pay attention to like, does this sound professional? Or like, do you sound like an adult who knows what they're talking about? They're not going to like grade you like a seventh grade English teacher. But there are also bigger things that help build your authority, like quality content, blogging, YouTube, podcasting, whatever you want to do. Having a professional looking brand, a presence online outside of your own website. Like I'm a huge fan, I mean, obviously I'm biased, but a huge fan of having your own website because you own that territory. When you build your business on social media exclusively, you are at the mercy of their algorithms and every change that they throw at us. I know a lot of people who, I don't know if any of you do this, but who are affiliates for Amazon. And this week, Amazon announced that they are cutting their affiliate commissions by 80%. And there are entire businesses built on just being an Amazon affiliate. And those businesses are going to crumble next week when the affiliate commissions are cut by 80%. So having you do want your own website, but you also, Google knows, because they know everything, Google knows when you have these other presence, like social media presences outside of your own website. Now, I love content creation. I have been blogging since 2013. I've been on YouTube since 2016. I've had a podcast for 3 years. So I create a lot of content. So I just wanted to do a quick little content slide just to share this. So when people come to me and they're like, but I don't know what to talk about. Like, sure, I would love to like create content, but like where to start and like whatever. go back to, I don't know if you guys learned this in the fifth grade, but when I was in the fifth grade, we learned the five W's of who, what, when, where, and why. So do that about a particular topic. So like, who should take magnesium supplements and what are they? When's the best time? Where should we buy them? Like, you could either break these up into different individual blog posts or videos or podcast episodes, or you could create like the ultimate guide to magnesium supplements for women or whatever, and break down all these different sections in that blog post or video. So that's an easy way to get started. Another thing is just think about the questions you get from clients and turn those into blog posts. That's another easy way. But just wanted to kind of slide this in here about content because I've done it for so long and it's just an easy thing when you think back to our fifth grade lessons. And another reason that I love evergreen content, which is evergreen means blogs, YouTube videos, podcasts, is that it means you don't have to show up on Instagram during vacation because you are allowing people to find you on Google. The one thing that a lot of people don't think about when it comes to Google versus social media is on social media, people are going just because they're bored, let's be honest, bored or just want to like check in on their friends, you know, and we are showing up like, hey, I have this new blog post, like, you know, like check this out here. Like, you need to know this about magnesium or here's like a smoothie recipe. And like, hopefully it does pique their interest, but people go to Google with intent. People go to Google looking for a solution. That's where they're Googling, like, how do I balance my hormones? How do I XYZ? I'm struggling, you know, like that's where they're going to look. Now, yes, some could argue like, well, but if they know that I'm like the hormone queen, they might come to my Instagram page and like scroll through my posts and like, what was that thing that Annie said the other day? You know, but by and large, most people, they go to Google. And there are people who don't have Facebook, people who don't have Instagram. Like, there are people who don't use social media, even though a lot of us online business owners kind of feel like we live there sometimes. So think about, remember, people go to Google with intent. That is the huge benefit of evergreen content. And just a little pro tip, if you decide to start creating content like blogging, YouTube, podcasts, all of that should live on your website. Edit your user profile on your website where it might just say like admin or maybe your name. You can edit that to include your credentials after the end of your name. Then under each blog post, I'm sure if you've gone to read a blog post, you see like the title and then it says like, by Jessica Freeman. That right there, once you add your credentials, it will automatically show under each blog post title, Jessica Freeman, RD, or what, you know, like whatever your credentials are. So that's an easy way to, one, build more authority. And that, again, reminds Google that like, I'm a credible source. I can be talking about this, you know, that kind of thing. So that's an easy thing. If you are on WordPress, just go to users. You'll see this in the sidebar, users, and then your profile, and you'll see where you can add that to your name. Super easy addition to make to your website. So that's part two, building authority. We want to build this authority within our niche and within Google as well. We want to tell Google that we're an authority. We have the credentials to be talking about this. And then part three is driving traffic. So we obviously want people to, we want to make people aware of our services and our content. We want to drive traffic, be like, hey, I can help you. So this is where we dive into a little bit of SEO among some other things. So the easiest option is to optimize your post titles, your blog post titles with keywords, not just in the title, but also in the post itself. And when it comes to SEO, the easiest thing that I always remind people is think about what people are actually searching. Don't get caught up in like trying to be super creative and like unique and funny or whatever, but what are people actually searching? So for instance, I had a client a few years ago who was a photographer, and she liked to call herself a brand image stylist. She was a brand photographer. It's like, no one is calling you a brand image stylist. So we didn't use brand image stylist as her keywords because no one's actually searching that. People are searching brand photographer, family photographer. So think about what people are searching, and also be as specific as you can. So anytime you can include numbers, demographic, like women, men, children, whatever, or brands, like if you're reviewing brands, comparing brands of anything, including any way you can be more specific is going to be more beneficial. So like 5 breakfast smoothies is not going to easily rank because it's so vague, but protein breakfast smoothies with only 3 ingredients will have a better chance of ranking because people might be searching for protein breakfast smoothies. Or I don't know about you, but I've always searched for things with like, I want a really easy cookie recipe. Like, I don't want this like super in depth with like 15 different ingredients cookie recipe. I want something super simple. So think about how you can be more specific in your blog post titles. And again, if you decide to go with YouTube or podcasting, you can and should embed that in your blog post. So for instance, like each of my YouTube videos goes in as a quote unquote blog post on my website. That literally means it just has the same title. My video's there. There's like a few notes, like context basically about what this video is about, and like that's it. So I'm not like writing a blog post and doing this video. It's just the video is living on my website because I do this for a few reasons. One, it helps people realize that I have videos. Even if you have like a YouTube icon in your footer or whatever on your website, doesn't mean people are actually going to click on it and go over to your YouTube channel. So it makes people aware that I have a YouTube channel, but it also gives Google more data because every time I add a new blog post, that kind of shows Google like, oh, there's more content. They like websites that have fresh content. Google wants to give a good user experience. So if you don't update often, if you don't have fresh content, they're kind of like, is Jessica still, like, is her website, is she here? Is she alive? Like, is this outdated? You know, that kind of stuff. So we want to make sure that we have a fresh website because Google will be like, oh, more stuff from Jessica. Cool. Like, we're going to keep showing this more in search and, you know, that kind of stuff. Cause they want to give their users a good experience. I don't know if you've ever gone to any kind of like tutorial or recipe or something and it's outdated and you're like, what the? No, like this is an Instagram tutorial from 5 years ago and Instagram looks totally different. Or, you know, like if it's outdated, we don't enjoy that. We leave immediately. So Google wants to make sure they're giving their users a good experience. Some other ways you can drive traffic to your website, especially if you don't feel like blogging quite yet, or YouTubing or podcasting, be a guest on other podcasts. This is an easy way. If you don't want to start your own podcast, just be a guest on other podcasts. Write guest posts for other people, for other health. Like you could swap guest posts with another coach or write posts for bigger publications. You can also, if you decide to do your own blogging, do a roundup post and then link to those other people. So you could say like, talk to the coaches just in this program and be like, hey, I'm going to do a roundup post on your best tip for XYZ, and then compile those and then link to everyone's website. That's an easy way to, one, you've created content, but you're also helping build your SEO because Google likes to see, oh, like she's connected with these other people. They're reputable. She's reputable. Like more basically like brownie points, more brownie points for you because you link to these other people. If there's anywhere you can get listed in a directory, whether that's locally or online, that's another link back to your website. So that's a great way. Signing up for Haro. So Haro is Help a Reporter Out. Basically, it's free. You sign up, you'll get notifications of like, hey, these are journalists that want to hear from people on all these 17 different topics. They won't always be something you can reply to, but it's a great way to get your name out there more. That's a big part of how I've gotten featured so much. I got a feature in Glamour magazine because of Haro. Like, again, totally free. It's just journalists like needing stories, needing contributors to help with their articles, and they're doing roundup posts just like I mentioned, you know. And then lastly, utilize Pinterest. Pinterest is so underutilized by people, by business owners. A lot of us just think, oh, it's like home decor and kids crafts and fashion outfits. But there is this whole other side of Pinterest that is full of bloggers and podcast episodes and YouTube videos. I've been using Pinterest to drive traffic to my website for, I want to say like 4 years or so. And I get about 10,000 views a month on my website from Pinterest. And that's like no ads, nothing. Like that's literally just from pinning my blogs on Pinterest. So that's something super helpful to get more eyes on your content. So to kind of wrap this all up, we start with this strategy, that first part with making clear what we want people to do. And then the authority, because we don't want to drive people to our website if we don't have that solid foundation in place. Kind of like if you move into a new house, you're probably not going to invite people over for dinner when the dining room table isn't quite set up yet. So we want to have that solid foundation in place. But with the little caveat, like this doesn't mean we wait for perfection. You don't have to wait to, you know, tell people about your website. You don't have to wait to start blogging. Like you can still do all these things. You can be kind of in progress or under construction while you're doing these things. But this is basically the ultimate goal. You may not have that authority and all those features yet, but that's something you can be working on as you're still working in your business. So if you want a little illustration, you're basically wanting to have, I know what I want people to do, and now people have reasons to trust me when I've built that authority and have been featured places and I'm creating content and all that kind of stuff. And then we increase traffic, which helps increase sales. So that's kind of the math formula right there. Some bonus quick bonus tips, not unrelated because they're still website related, but kind of just other things, if you have an existing website that you can go do today, or simple things to think about in the future. Simplify your Instagram Linktree page. A lot of people have like 17 different links on here because they're like, oh, here's an affiliate link and here's a blog post, another affiliate link, my Facebook group, my, like all these different things. Again, go back to just thinking about your homepage. You want your Linktree to also be simple. So simplify that to 3 or 4 links. And one of the easiest ways is if you do have a website, create a resources page and then put all your affiliate links there. Then you don't have to waste multiple Linktree buttons with all your different affiliate products and instead just link to resources. If you have an existing website, double check your social media links. You would be surprised how often I go to someone's website and their social media links do not work. This can be because there's a typo or someone has changed handles. Because if you change like your Instagram handle, your Facebook page URL, it's not automatically going to update. So just double check those. Create a simple landing page for a freebie. So this is a great idea because it's always easy to mention it on Instagram stories or in a podcast interview. You don't have to be like, oh, go to jessgraves.com/free-smoothie-2020. Like that's super hard to remember. If you just go to if you have it down to one word, that makes it super easy. And literally this can just be a page on your website, and you just make sure you can change the URL so that it's super simple. And that is an actual link if you want to go check it out. And then lastly, put a photo of yourself. I just said put a photo. I meant to say photo of yourself on your sales page. When people see you, it can help increase your conversions. And if you want really like to really amp up your conversions, having a quick 1 to 2 minute video on your sales page can ramp up your conversions by up to 80%. 80%. And this video, literally like 1 to 2 minutes, don't just list out like, hey, here are the 12 modules of my course, and this is what's inside. Like, talk about why this is important, the change they're going to see. Like, they can read about like what's in the course on the page. You are just there to help connect with them and tell them like, we can, you know, you can see this change in your own life. But again, 1 to 2 minutes can be super simple, like record it on your laptop. You don't have to have some big fancy setup. But that's a huge, huge benefit and a super easy way to increase conversions. So that is everything. If you have questions, obviously, like, I'm here in the chat, but if you're watching the replay, you can email me. You can DM me on Instagram. I'm always happy to answer questions, whether you're here or watching the replay. So I'm going to stop sharing. I do see we have some questions. Okay, so Chris said, don't use a pop-up when trying to get clients. Correct. Just because that can be a distraction. Favorite hosting for a website. I had an old GoDaddy account. I'm sending up a sign. She said, yes. SiteGround is really, really awesome. I use Flywheel. They're very similar. Flywheel's like marketed towards designers. There's literally nothing different between Flywheel and SiteGround in terms of like, there's nothing special for us designers, but SiteGround, yes. I do not recommend GoDaddy or Bluehost. Like, GoDaddy for domains is okay. But GoDaddy hosting and Bluehost hosting are awful. I will not work with clients who are on those. Like, if someone tells me they're on Bluehost, I'm like, well, you have to move. Otherwise I won't work with you. Bluehost, the reason I stopped working with them, I once had them, they accidentally, quote unquote, deleted a client's website, like entire website, just gone. They also, I'm trying to think, there was something last year that that wasn't a client of mine, but someone that I knew, I can't remember what they did, but I do not recommend either of those. What is a Linktree? So if, for anyone else who's not aware, Linktree is that link. If you go on someone's Instagram and then there's like multiple buttons, you can do that. I recommend actually setting this up on your own website, because then they're actually already on your own website. All you have to do is create a page, put a few buttons, and you're done. And you don't have to put this in your navigation. Like, you leave it unlinked anywhere. Super easy. But if you don't have a website yet, like, it's a great option. That way you can at least send people to, you know, your Facebook group or MailChimp landing page or whatever. So, do you suggest using first or third person on your website? I always say first person. The only page that I would say you should do third person is if you have a page for being a speaker, like being a public speaker. That is industry standard to talk about yourself in third person. Everywhere else, I'm a fan of first person. There are people who do third person, but I think it's just personal preference. Best resources for learning how to add landing page to a website. Well, it would depend on like what theme you use and like if you're WordPress or Squarespace. Pro tip for like anybody who wants to learn anything about their website, if you already have one, especially for WordPress, don't Google like WordPress in like landing page or like WordPress add a button. Google the name of your theme and then how to add a button. You can find the name of your theme under appearance. Go to your dashboard, look under appearance, themes. You'll see like there's going to be a big box with a picture and it'll say like 2017 theme, whatever. If you Google the theme, because every theme is different. And so like I can't tell you just how to like add a landing page, how to change a button or whatever, because it totally depends on your theme. So if you ever want to Google something about your website, Google the theme. Same with like Squarespace, because Squarespace has a bunch of different themes. Do like Squarespace, whatever the name of the theme is, like Squarespace, Bedford, add a button or whatever it is. Like anytime you can add the name of the theme, regardless of platform, that's going to get you so much further than just like WordPress add a button. Alma said, a friend talked me into buying Bluehost. So you can move, SiteGround will move your site to their platform totally free. Bluehost, sometimes it depends on how long ago you signed up, you might be able to cancel and get like a prorated refund. Otherwise, you are stuck with Bluehost or you can pay for them and just leave. That's kind of up to you. Thoughts on Wix versus Squarespace? I do not promote Wix. I'm not a fan of Wix. They are not fully responsive. Like I've gone to Wix websites and like the contact, like the navigation is cut off. Like because my browser is a different site, like it's not full width. And so I don't know about you, but I don't want people thinking I don't have a contact page or blog. I also just think about like there are national brands and like Fortune 500 companies that use Squarespace and WordPress. Wix cannot say that about their platform. So the other thing is Wix does not export. So like you can easily move between Squarespace and WordPress. There's literally on both platforms an export button that will just download everything. Wix does not do that. So you have to, if you start blogging, and in 3 years, you have 100 blog posts and you want to move to WordPress, have fun moving those over manually, one by one. Not fun. So I don't suggest Wix for anybody. The difference between having the website on GoDaddy and the domain. So to kind of break this down, your domain is like your street address. The host is like your neighborhood. And then your actual website itself is like your house. So you can more so like trailer house. So like you can move a trailer house from one neighborhood to another. And then let's pretend you can also move your mailing address because you can keep your mailing address. But the GoDaddy, the neighborhood is not good. Pretend it's a really bad HOA. So that's different. So yes, GoDaddy domains are great. Their hosting is just very slow and their customer service is not stellar. Lindsay said, I'm going to keep my domain with GoDaddy, which is great, but I signed up for 2 years for them to host. You can see if you can cancel it. You can always try. You can see if they'll give you like a prorated refund, and see what they say. What is a theme? So in like any of the platforms, WordPress or Squarespace, the theme is basically the skeleton of your website. Think of it like when you're building a house and they have all the boards and they're building up the rooms. That's kind of like what the theme is. So that's kind of like a very simple explanation of it. Chris asked, how often do you suggest blogging? If you can be consistent with it, weekly is great. If that's too much, every other week would be good too. At the very least a month, but I don't know if that gives you any SEO benefit because that's a long time in between. But whatever, if you want to start with every other week and see how you do with that and then ramp up, that'd be fine. How do we find out what was used to design our website, Squarespace versus WordPress versus something else? So, well, this would be a good question. Did the person give you like login instructions? Because if you are on WordPress, it would be like yourdomain.com/wp-admin. That would mean you're on WordPress. If you're on Squarespace, they would, I'm assuming, probably just tell you to go to squarespace.com and click login. You can also, Squarespace, you can press the escape key and that'll bring up the login key screen. Fun little hack for anybody that doesn't know that. But yeah, that's kind of like the easiest way to find out. You can also, if you want to get really nerdy, you can go to your website, right click, view source, and then you can see, it's a lot of mumbo jumbo, like you may not be able to see, but if it's Squarespace, you can see, like, it'll say like at the very top, this is Squarespace. So that'll tell you it's Squarespace. Joe said, I have Wix, but I'm regretting it. It's difficult to get a hold of someone. Thank you for the insight. Yes, hopefully you can get it renewed and start fresh with Squarespace. That would be a great idea. Any recommendations for website names? Should it include words like health, nutrition, RD, or dietitian? So I think it depends on also like what your business name is. I think it makes the most sense that your domain be what your business name is. Like my website is jessgratives.com. It's not like jessicafreeman.com. Like that would be confusing if it's two different things. So I think that really depends on what your business name is. But like if you just want to call yourself Jessica Freeman, like Leslie is just Leslie Bytel, then you can optimize your page titles and your page descriptions with those keywords like health, nutrition, RD, dietitian, etc. So even if it's not in the name, like the actual name itself, you can optimize page titles and page descriptions so that it's optimized that way. So like I obviously, like my business name is Jess Creatives. Nowhere does it say dietitian, but I've optimized my website to include those keywords like website design for dietitians and health coaches. So even though it's not in my domain or my business name, the pages and content themselves are optimized. So hopefully that makes sense. And Chris said, can we send you our website for feedback? If you just want like me to glance at a page, you can DM me. But if you want like full feedback, I do offer website audits where I come through your entire website page by page and look at all that. You can email me or DM me if you want that. But any other questions? Those were a lot of good questions. Anybody else?
Does anyone want to ask her questions about creating a landing page? Vula? I know Vula had some questions about that. Raquel, we've been talking about in some of our conversations with this group, you know, creating a lead magnet and, you know, just the importance of having it not only on your website, but also in a separate landing page.
Yes. So there are a few different ways you can do this. One way is to actually create the page on your website itself. And so you literally would just have maybe like a screenshot or graphic like from Canva, like here's my freebie, a little description, and then like the opt-in form. A true landing page means that the navigation menu and like nothing else is visible. Like they can't click anywhere else. That's like the true definition of a landing page. There are different ways to like make sure you don't have the navigation visible and whatnot. That's getting really techy. So if you're just like getting started, like having just a landing page, even if all the other stuff is visible, that's better than nothing. You can also create landing pages in like MailChimp or ConvertKit. Like ConvertKit is what I use, and they have like full landing pages where like, again, that's literally all it is. You can, if you're on WordPress, the Pretty Links plugin is makes it easy to do redirects. So for example, that one, I had that link earlier on a slide, justcreatives.com/simple. That is a ConvertKit landing page. But even though I can build my own on my website, sometimes I just use ConvertKit. And I use the Pretty Links plugin so that it redirects to the like mumbo jumbo ConvertKit landing URL. Cause it's like, it's weird. It's like green C4, like as you'll see it if you type it in, like it'll say, if you type in justcreatives.com/simple, it'll redirect. You'll see the URL. It's like green C421. Like it's weird. So you can, again, you can create the landing page just like on your own website. You can look up ways like how to, like there are like lead pages and things like that, but that's unnecessary software in my opinion, when you can literally just create it on your own website that you're already paying for. It's not that hard. What about Constant Contact for a landing page? I am not familiar with Constant Contact. Like, I mean, I used it like once at a job like 7 years ago, but I am not familiar with it. I don't even know if they have landing pages.
They do.
Okay.
They pretty much all do now.
Okay. I would kind of assume so, but. Yeah.
Even the free version of MailChimp has it now.
Yeah. Is adding things like this or teaching us to do these things something you offer as a service? Yes, I do. You can DM me. Where would be a good place to put affiliate links even when getting clients as our main goal? So I would create a resources page. I have a resources page where I have two freebies. Then I have like an affiliate section, and then I have like other helpful links. It's just like random things. So just having, and I usually like almost all of my clients when I'm building their sites, they are like they want a resources page for their freebies, their meal plans, their Amazon links, you know, like all that stuff. So just create a resources page, because then people are like, ooh, like I'm sure she has this. And then they'll start, like, anytime someone asks you for like, do you have a recommendation for this? Like, I mean, if you think it fits, then you can like make a little note, add this to my resources page. Is it possible to link a landing page in MailChimp to Squarespace, or better to create landing page via Squarespace directly? You could do the redirect in Squarespace. If you go to settings, advanced URL mappings, you can do it that way. Or Squarespace has the cover pages. And that's a great, like, if you're in Squarespace, they have the cover pages, use that as your landing page, like your freebie landing page. Cause it's super simple. They hide the navigation and all that fun stuff. So it's like a true landing page. You can connect it to MailChimp. Also, yes, I am nerdy enough to know exactly where to send you in Squarespace without even looking. So yeah, but you can do that with the URL mappings or just recreate it, in Squarespace, which their cover pages are like beautiful and simple, and you can just like upload a photo, have a little description, and you're good to go. Anybody else? Anybody?
No other questions? Jess, what about, we have a couple people that are just starting out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, given COVID-19 are kind of, you know, suddenly nudged into the virtual space.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking of a couple of people in particular here. Just wondered, like, what do you recommend for them? in terms of a really simple, inexpensive way to create a virtual presence?
I would say Squarespace, and you could literally start with that cover page that I mentioned. Mm-hmm. Literally just have that as your website. Mm-hmm. That's going to be temporary because you'll see there's not a lot of space. but you can literally have a few paragraphs of hey, these are my services. Contact me for more information. Okay. You can have links to your social media. You can have a contact form. There's just not a lot of.
Can you connect that to a lead magnet so you can start growing your email list too?
Yeah, you could actually do both. You could have hey, grab my freebie, or contact me to work with me one-on-one. So that would be my best suggestion.
Yeah. Okay, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, good deal.
That's a good question.
Okay, good. Yeah, Vula. All right, this was great.
Yeah.
Super helpful, really appreciate it. No other questions, guys? Let's see. So Joe says, if we were to pick, what would you recommend we focus on for people to find us? Blogging, Instagram, Facebook?
Why do I have to pick one? I would say, again, I would go back to blogging. Mm-hmm. Because again, Google, there's a lot more people on Google, using Google search, trying to find help. Then there are people on Instagram. Mm-hmm. I know there are some coaches out there who are go all in on Instagram and Instagram's great. And
not one of them.
I love Instagram. I do. Mm-hmm. But I mean, my sister and my husband hardly use Instagram. So I'm when people are your customers are on Instagram. I'm yes, some of them are, but some of them are not. And I'm related to two of them. So as much as I'm on Instagram, there are people who are not. So I would say blogging more than anything.
Yeah. And it's your platform.
Yes.
That's the other thing. I would agree. Honestly, I think I might've shared this with you all before. I mean, I've been doing this a while and I've been very busy, right? No shortage of, people reaching out. And I just embraced Instagram this summer. And, so it's kind of you just pick one thing at a time.
Mm-hmm.
You got to commit. You got to be really consistent and show up. And then you're okay, I feel like I've got this down. Now it's the next thing, right?
Yep.
So I think Instagram can be great. And, guys know, video, definitely, right? But you just got to pick one thing at a time and then just slowly add it. Otherwise, you get really kind of overwhelmed and you end up not doing anything consistently. So that's, mm-hmm. I think, the biggest risk. So just pick one thing. I'm with Jess on the blogging. And I actually also think if you're blogging, then why not put it in a newsletter format too? You know, it's really easy. It's you're kind of, you're just repurposing content.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. How do you feel about using YouTube as a way for people to discover us and our services? 100%. I've been on YouTube for 4 years, like I said, and consistently get clients from it. Mm-hmm. Consistently. Don't worry about a fancy setup. Don't worry about, I started literally with my iPhone. My first dozen or so videos were literally a minute long because I was so nervous. So I was these are going to be 1 minute videos. And then I ran out of things that I could talk about for under 1 minute. But super awkward videos, super awkward. But within 3 months, I had a client from YouTube. Within 3 months. And that was one of those 1 minute videos. pro tip, don't start with 1 minute videos because then you're out of.
I have a quick question. How do you recommend that we do keyword research? Because I know with YouTube videos, keywords are really important.
Yeah. So for YouTube specifically, there's a Google Chrome, the browser extension called TubeBuddy.
Okay.
Free. And there is a feature in it. It's not called keyword research. It's tags something. Look for tags. Okay. And then you can like do the keyword research there. If you do a YouTube search for like TubeBuddy and like finding keywords or whatever, mm-hmm. that's a great way to like, there's tons of tutorials, tons of YouTubers telling you how to find keywords on, through TubeBuddy. Yes. Tube, like as in the tube of YouTube. Buddy.
Okay. To put, I had problems with my Mac when I put a bunch of Chrome extensions.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know. I get kind of nervous about those now.
TubeBuddy is super reputable.
Okay.
They're right. Like, it's so not just like something.
Careful of who the extension is. Like, oh my God, I had my computer just went haywire.
Interesting.
And I added, yeah, it was really bad and I could not figure out what the problem was. And I, yeah, so.
TubeBuddy, so. Like, they're like a legit company. Okay. Like, it's not just like, oh, here's like one little extension some guy made. It's like you'll see there are like a bajillion features within TubeBuddy.
Okay.
It's very in-depth. Cool.
All right. So that's how you would do keyword research for YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about for like blog posts? Is it
Google Keyword Planner.
Okay.
It will prompt you some, like, I don't know, some people don't get the prompt and some people do. It may prompt you to, like, you have to run a campaign to do this.
Okay.
You can literally, like, run a campaign for, like, a penny and then stop it.
Okay.
And then it'll give you access. Another one is Keywords Everywhere.
Okay.
That's another good one. Those would probably be the two best that I would recommend. Okay.
Keywords Everywhere, is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay.
I think it's a website and also a Chrome extension.
Okay.
If I remember right. Is that the microphone you use for your podcast? It is. This one is actually discontinued, but it's the Audio Technica brand, and they have other microphones. They only discontinued it because they just wanted to promote their newer one. So they like made this one unavailable. but Audio Technica is super great. I highly recommend it. I noticed some people host ads on their websites. Is this recommended? Mm-hmm. Personally, I think no. I have a client who runs ads on her website because she gets like bukus of traffic. And so it's like passive income to run ads. I think that makes you look like a blogger and not a business owner. Mm-hmm. That's my only
problem. I think it really, I don't like seeing it.
I don't either. Like, because I hate.
I saw a dietitian, like a really well-known dietitian, and guess what she was advertising? Prilosec. Oh my goodness. I was kind of shocked.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, ooh. So I don't think you make, I mean, I don't think it, you look at how much you can make. I don't think it's
really, it's not worth it.
I don't think it's worth it.
No, I don't think
you gotta have a gazillion people visiting for it to even remotely be worthwhile. And even then.
Yeah. And I think it can kind of slow down your site, like not majorly, but I think it's just another thing running. So yeah.
Raquel asked, what was the first one you cut out? Raquel, first, keyword searching tools. Is that what you're looking for? Oh, for Google Keywords.
Yeah. Google Keyword Planner. Yeah.
Google Keyword Planner. Okay. Cool. Let's see. Jess, could you comment on IG stories over just IG posts?
Yes. IG stories get way more attention than posts. Way more attention. I think, not to say that you shouldn't post in your feed too, because people can find you through Instagram hashtags. So like, that's good, but, and they can't really find you through Instagram stories unless someone like just tags you or reposts your story or, you know, something like that. But, yeah, Instagram stories get way more in attention and interaction. Like the view time on Instagram stories is way higher. And I know a lot of people like struggle with like, well, what do I do? and I think they aren't saved, are they? No, unless you save them to your highlights. Mm-hmm. that's an option. But a few different things you can do is, like, I've literally told people, like, if you're just getting kind of started, like, literally just try and post what you're doing, like, every 2 hours or 2 to 3 hours. Just, even if it's, like, the same thing. Like, trust me, I literally just sit at my desk all day. And, like, here just I am.
A picture of yourself?
Yes.
Like, here's what I'm doing now. Here's what I'm doing now.
Yeah, so I'll be like, oh, here, usually I'm like first thing in the morning, I'm like, you know, happy Monday, here's what I'm working on this week or today or whatever. And then a little bit later, I'll be like, ooh, like, look what I made this website do or something. Or like, look, you know, this is what I'm working on. Like, you can go see my Insta stories from today that I was like talking about my summit. Then I was talking with my husband for a little bit about some snacks. And then I posted like, oh, I'm going to talk to Leslie's community. Like, so kind of just like throughout my day. Other things you can do, which I just finished doing, is sharing like a quick tip every, like I did every day for 30 days, but you could do like, maybe it's like every Tuesday, you're like Tip Tuesday. And you just have like a few slides where it's like, hey, this is, you know, what I recommend for meal planning. Here's a quick hack for like, here's my favorite recipe, like lunch here, like make it in 3 steps or whatever. You want it to provide value, not just, but also like a mix of behind the scenes and like real life. Like I said, every time I post a picture of my dog, Morgan, people love seeing him. So it's a little mix of like, here's like an actionable step that you can take, or here I'm going to like ask a question and try and create dialogue with people, versus then here's my husband and I opening a box of snacks. For posting video on website, how do you recommend I go about doing this? So, for anybody who wants to do videos, they always, always, always need to be posted on either YouTube or Vimeo and then placed on your website. Because if you try to put the video file itself on your website, it's going to slow it down majorly. Mm-hmm. So, yes, Vimeo, it's V-I-M-E-O. But YouTube, I would probably do YouTube, even if you're not like, I don't want to start like a YouTube channel. I just want to do like a one off video or whatever. You can just do that. That's fine. But yes, you can embed videos on Squarespace and WordPress very easily. So, I also have, if you go to my YouTube channel, I have, a few tutorials on different apps you can use on your phone to edit videos. Mm. So
what are your favorite ones off the top of your head?
Vlogit is very easy. Adobe Rush, if I don't edit on my phone, but if I did, I'd probably use Adobe Rush, but it has a much higher learning curve and you have to have an Adobe subscription, et cetera. But Adobe Spark is also, you can't edit video, but it's cool for creating Instagram stories. But Vlogit is probably, Videorama is another one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are those apps Android friendly? I do not know. I'm sorry. I'm not an Android user. I'm pretty sure Adobe Spark is, which again doesn't edit videos, but you can make Instagram stories. Trying to remember if Vlogit is Android, but I really don't remember.
Let's see.
Facebook Live versus posting video. Any difference in getting traffic to your Facebook group or page? Well, every platform loves live video. Mm-hmm. Every social media platform loves live video. So if you can go live, that would be great. You can also repurpose your live videos as ads, as Facebook ads. Mm-hmm. So that's a thing. But if you're scared to go live, like, video is better than nothing, whether it's live or recorded. So, but you'll get a a boost for going live. StreamYard. I have not heard of StreamYard.
I use StreamYard, Barbara.
Okay. I was like, I've not heard of this. What is it? I'm going to have to look it up.
Yeah. You know, it's fine. It's really easy. So easy. And the advantage to StreamYard is that you can stream in multiple places at one time.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Now, I would say the only, you know, thing to consider is just make sure that you have a powerful enough computer and really good Wi-Fi, because you start streaming in multiple places, you just need more power. But I just started using it. I think I started using it 2 weeks ago, and I just streamed to two places at once. But you can actually stream to Facebook and YouTube at the same time, which is pretty nice. Yeah. So then you don't have to repurpose. Although, yeah, well, it just works out. I think it could save you, potentially save a step.
For
but,
sure.
But, you know, the only challenge with that, I think, is you got to be cognizant of the personality of the platform. Mm-hmm. You know, because YouTube is definitely more to the point, more concise, and Facebook, you know, is a little more chatty.
Yeah.
So there's that. But you know what? We'll be talking about video and live streaming, so I can share more insight there with you guys as well. I've worked with a couple of live streaming coaches, and I can share everything I've learned from them as well. So do you recommend using Ecamm or Zoom for group talks? Can you use Ecamm for group talks?
Yeah, I think just Zoom does the group talks.
I don't know about Ecamm. Ecamm is like a live streaming software.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Ecamm just does the live stuff.
And Zoom, you can live stream through Zoom.
Yeah.
And I've done that before. True. It's really easy. So, yeah, probably I would go with Zoom, because I don't think Ecamm does that. I don't know if Facebook Lives allows you to share the screen with another user. That I don't know.
I think you can. I have not done it. But I feel like I've seen it.
Before, I would, and you know what? They recently updated the platform for Facebook Live. So you can double check. I know before you couldn't, but they may have added that recently. I used to use BeLive.tv, and the reason I started using it was so that I could have two people on the screen at once. But again, double check. I'm not sure about that, because they've recently done some upgrades, so maybe. I think you can do a screen share now on Facebook Live, so.
Yeah.
You know, directly with the application. So, let's see. I've seen it done on IG, but not sure. Yeah, you can do it through a third-party application, such as StreamYard, BeLive.tv, or Ecamm. You can have multiple people on the screen at one time. But I don't know. I just don't know if you can do it directly through the Facebook application.
Yeah, I don't either.
All right, guys. We are going to have to wrap up. Thank you so much, Justin.
Yes, of course.
Time. This was awesome.
Of course.
Really helpful. And good to see everybody in this group. And all right. Yeah, thanks to everyone, especially to Jess, for sharing her knowledge with us. And I will talk to you guys soon. All right. So I'll see you over in the Facebook group. And Jess, hopefully we will reconnect again soon.
Yeah.
Bye. Sounds good. Thanks, everybody. Have a great night. Stay safe and healthy.